Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Yes, and it is Wednesday. Hump Day, they say, as we're getting over the awesome Hill of the Lord. A city on the hill, shining bright, the light of the gospel. And joining me to encourage you today is we're going to talk about awesome things happening in Russia today and what the church is doing. And it just excites me about what we can do in America, how to transform, fundamentally transform America God's way. Joining me is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello, hello.
Oh my goodness, oh my goodness. Yes, we are here today. We're going to be talking to you about this ex-LAPD officer that possibly was caught in, I think, Bexar, California or something. Don't know yet, but they're identifying the bodies. A little tough to do, but we're just hoping that they actually got him last night. We're going to be talking also about Hagel and possibly being confirmed all the way through for defense secretary. Hopefully get a chance to share an awesome story about a dolphin that came to a man for help. He had some things tied around him, and he came to a diver and said, okay, the game's over right now. I'm in trouble. Dr. Dobson's got a brand new book out. It's really that fiction and facts. I think you call it factioncy or something like that. Fatherless. And childless, and the third in the trilogy is godless. We need to listen up. I mean, he's focused on the family. Also, we'll be talking about the citizenship test today. Oh, I am so pumped about the citizenship test today because we get to have a lot of fun watching us not get the answers right. And also talking about the State of the Union. State of the Union. Yes, you're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me today on today's program is Pat Hamilton.
Hi there.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello, hello.
Well, I'll tell you what. Here it is. It is Wednesday, and so many things are happening. Our president just addressed the nation. Last night, and gave the. It was just amazing. I've never seen. It's like every teenager's dream. I'm going to give you everything that you ever wanted. I'm going to somehow miraculously provide the money for it. And it's all good. It's all good. I mean, from the cradle to the grave, it was the most amazing, unaffordable speech that you ever heard before. And it was amazing was the 500-some-odd leaders who stood up and applauded. And it's like, do y'all not know this is actually good, but it can't be a reality. We can't afford it.
That's not possible.
Oh, what's amazing to me is how much work immediately gets done right before the State of the Union. I mean, here's a point, and he says, that's why just today.
I signed another executive order that,
like, what have you been doing? And just today you signed something. What is this?
Well, even an executive order is going to be signed in regards to the environment. And it's like, let's just take a look at the Constitution. But he did address that too. He said, you know, we need to make sure everything's constitutionally sound. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness. And this is the question. This is the question that I was, you know, when I was just holding my head down after the address and watching people's response to it afterwards. And Donna comes into my office and I'm thinking, does anything good come out of America? And, you're just thinking, well, and it's not what he said. It really, we've got to quit blaming the people that we hired and gave them a job description. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
We got to quit blaming them. It's like blaming Pilate for what the people wanted. Pilate was a politician. He wanted to let Jesus go. He wanted to let him go.
Yeah.
His wife even told him, let's let him go. And he kept on saying, well, how about this way? Maybe we'll do it this way. How about, do you want this murderer, thieving crook who killed one of you guys? Or do you want this awesome dude here that just says he's the Son of God, and he's healing you, he's delivering you, and they're going like, Barabbas, give us Barabbas.
Mm-hmm.
And he tried. He really tried to do what was, what not me, what he thought was right, but he didn't go against his political persuasion. And so who was more wrong, the one who was trying to let Jesus go or the people who refused to let him go? And they said, let his blood be on our heads.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what was more upsetting, you know. It's like who's worse in regards to trying to stop crime, for example? Is it the prostitute who's on the side of the road or the John that picks them up?
Mm.
You know, and everybody dogs this particular person out that's on the side of the street. But, you know, that she or he wouldn't be there if somebody else wouldn't roll up in their car and pick them up and pay them. You know what I'm saying? We never look at both sides of the equation. And so I'm thinking about that, and I'm thinking, God, you know, all those leaders, all the senators, all the congressmen and the generals and all, they just are being told something that's not, can't be true. But they're actually standing up and applauding what can't be true. So actually they're expecting Pilate, you know, Pontius Pilate to give them what they want. And then the public responds when you're listening to C-SPAN and all the people calling in, you just need to listen to his speech and what he's really saying. It's like, dude, they just wrote that yesterday. You really don't know what they were meaning behind that.
Actually, he didn't write it.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. Exactly. He read it. But the context of it is, who's worse, the one who's telling potentially an untruth, or is it the ones who demand Pilate to tell them the untruth? Is it the American public who says, lie to me, tell me that I'm good, give me everything that I want, provide me for me from the cradle to the grave, educate my children, pay my bills, and make sure in the end of my life that I live comfortably, and don't let anybody do better than me. Let it just be all equally done. Amen. I really feel this is what the Lord laid on my heart last night. That a true politician, and let me tell you, this is Chicago politics. They know politics, you know, from there. And that he had Mayor Daley as his chief of staff for 2 years. Everybody just said, okay, whatever you want. You know, it's like bringing in Tyson, you know, to be your bodyguard. Anyway, I meant, you know, allegedly. And all I know is more governors are in jail from that state than any other state.
I know.
Isn't that amazing? It's like, as a matter of fact, even Jesse Jackson's son's about to go.
Yep.
So, yeah. He just did a plea deal so he can get less time. I mean, he got elected when he was he's going through recovery because he was suffering from a state of melancholiness and depression. And I think he's, now that he's got a plea deal, I think he's coming out of that.
Yeah.
And he resigned his office. He got elected for office while he was running from indictment. Anyway, we think about it though, that it's unfair to blame our president for what the people of America demanded from him. He's just very good at sensing what the people are asking from him. And he gives back to him, just like Pontius Pilate did. Because Pontius Pilate, man, read the press. He wanted to let this man go, Jesus. He didn't. He wasn't comfortable with it. His wife had a dream about how terrible this is, what we're about to do here. And he brought out probably the worst criminal of all, Barabbas. And he knew that, hey, you bring Barabbas out because you're supposed to let one go, that they're going to pick Jesus. They're going to let Jesus go.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, he couldn't come against what God was allowing to take place. And it's like, you know, we need to have a little empathy for our sounding boards, that our politicians who are just echoes of our voices that we shout to Washington, D.C. like you do to a mountain, and it just bounces right back off, and people go, woo, that's exactly what I wanted to hear. And you go, that's exactly what you said. It just kind of bounced off the solidness of Washington, D.C. And it's like we're lying to ourselves and we're believing it because we actually vote for somebody to go in office who agrees with our lie. You know, and then we argue with them when it don't work out, and it's like, hey, this was your plan from the beginning. You sent me there to be able to say what you want me to be a puppet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you stand up for yourself, you saw what we did at the Tea Party people, the conservatives that were on these different panels. As soon as the president got his reelection and the Speaker of the House was facing his reelection, whether he's going to be in or not, and his name is the Speaker of the House.
John Boehner.
John Boehner.
I can see him clearly.
Did you see him in the back?
Yeah.
He looked like, really happy.
Cheer up, John. Cheer up.
Well, I know there. The vice president was actually, I think he was instant messaging somebody on his phone or something, texting. But his eyes were wide open the whole time. I was like, that's why. I was like, they're like, he braced them bubbies up. Anyway, so so he immediately comes back and he realizes that we have no ability, no power left because the president just won election, even though they did because there's a balance of powers and Congress was reelected conservatively in a powerful way, just like the president was reelected. Mm-hmm. And he immediately began to remove any conservative voice on any committee. He began to pull anybody off that was related to the Tea Party at all in the context of that. And we're not supporting any particular candidate or anything. It's just conservative voices. And he pulled them off, you know, people who are for the Constitution, for God, and for life, you know. Yeah. And he headed that up, and then he came out in front of everybody and said, okay, Mr. President, you've won, you're the leader, we're ready to be led. Hmm. And I'm like, oh my goodness, think about that. What happens, we don't understand our government, so we don't understand what that really means, but the Congress, understand this, that the Congress, the Speaker of the House, is the number three person to the presidency. Hmm. If for whatever reason, say that the president and the vice president are playing golf and lightning came down and hit a tree and they were standing by the tree and their time on earth ended, John Boehner would be the next president of the United States.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And so... that means he needs to be his own individual elected self and whoever he's representing, and he's representing. Mm-hmm. So Congress, and I'm talking about the House of Representatives, not the Senate, because there's two senators from every state, but the Congress is more of a true picture of America because it's based on the population of the state. So small states like Massachusetts may have a couple
representatives from that state because...
No, a couple representatives because their population's small. But then you look at a state like Florida or New York or California, they have a lot of representatives. And so when you look at Congress gives you a better true picture of America. Mm-hmm. It's the best representation. It's the House of Representation, mm-hmm. the House of Representatives. They have representative government, right?
Mm-hmm.
And right. So when, for example, when the Attorney General, you know,
Holder.
Yeah, Eric Holder tells the Congress, no, I'm not going to give you what you asked for. He's not telling people. He's not telling, you know, government people. He's telling you and me that right. I'm not going to give to you this information that you're requesting. They represent us.
Mm-hmm.
That's how important it is. If the president's going to be impeached, for example, he has to be impeached in the House of Representatives.
Mm.
Because that's a good representation of the population. So nobody trumps out just because you have a bigger, more money. You have to have more people. It's a representative government. And so when the Speaker of the House of Representatives, your representatives, bow down day one after the election, they remove all the conservative voices and on all these different panels and looks in the cameras with a teleprompter written out speech that they twerked to the last second. And looks at America and looks at the president and says, Mr. President, we're ready to be led. That was a day, I believe, that things shifted in America. Because they right after that, they reelected him again as Speaker of the House. They could have not. They could have, you know.
Yeah, especially during that whole fiscal cliff thing. They never went, you know, didn't go anywhere, really. And he was the one that was, you know, supposed to be in chief negotiations with the president. Ultimately, he didn't even work out the deal. It took the Senate to actually work out the deal.
And the thing, but the whole, yeah, and that it, everybody's supposed to work together in the, in Congress because they represent you. So you got to, you know, Florida has to talk to New York, New York has to talk to California. I mean, everybody has to get together and decide a majority of the votes which way we're going to go. And what happened was at that time that the Speaker Boehner just decided to cut a deal. He played a golf, played a game of golf, stuck in the back, no, walked in the side door of the of the White House, sat back with what they call the president. Was chewing Nicorette, trying to break his smoking habit, so much for health, and then drinking iced tea, and he was smoking, and Boehner was smoking a cigar, and he was drinking wine. Merlet, they say. It was the Merlet tea meeting.
Merlet meetings, yeah.
Yeah, Merlet meetings.
Hmm.
And they supposedly struck a deal without America being involved. You know, all the representatives there, so he goes back, and they just, like, freak out. Like, what are you doing cutting a deal without even talking to us?
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, it's all, but when he came out after all that, I mean, he is the politician. I mean, I think he's like the last of the Mohicans, you know, he's that one.
John Boehner?
Yeah. He's like that.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
He's like that, you know, it's amazing.
Well, and that's the thing. He thought he was going to come in and cut all these deals and all the new, cause all the, remember they had just the election. So all the new conservative, members of Congress just got elected and said, you know, we're not going to play this back deal thing. You know what I'm saying? We represent the people.
They were shocked that he actually violated the Constitution by doing that.
Yeah.
And they were, he's just going to try to push it through. But even after all that now, and after he stands up and says before all of America, Mr. President, America's ready to be led. And, of course, the president's supposed to be lead, but I'm talking a spiritual sense in regards to the direction that he's taking the country. And then he comes back and before he made that speech, you know, he removed all the, when you say Tea Party, what you're really looking at is people who were just constitutionalists, who just believe in the founding fathers and what we stood for, you know, God and country, those go figure type, wow, what a concept. And he removed them, then he made the speech, and then they reelected him as Speaker of the House, which if they didn't reelect him, then maybe the people of America may have had a window of grace here. You know what I'm saying? Because they would have said, you know, that was wrong, what you did. You removed these people who are God and country. And, you know, they didn't. They went ahead and reelected them. And so it's like, okay, that means the people bought into this thing. Just like the DNC when they stood up and booed God. You know, but the Congress, the Congress voted Boehner back into Speaker of the House. And that's the third person in the chain of command for the presidency of the United States, which means... that's what people are saying in America. That's what people want. You know, they're only repeating, you know, Paulie wants a cracker, right? The bird goes, Paulie wants a cracker. You know, Paulie wants whatever. And they just go, this is what my constituents want. And they're so political that if the constituents, which is us, you know, would stand up, if we see where, you know, we want a representative to be able to stick with our values, they probably... would, or you could replace them with somebody who stands up for your values. But it's like, oh my goodness, we've bought into such a false doctrine. You know, as we talked about yesterday, you got to hear yesterday's, the entire program, talking about the best of times and the worst of times. And it's just like candy stores in regards to, you know, some of the church, not all of the church, which God loves, in that we're just saying, give me candy, just give me the good stuff. Don't
give me some sugar.
Yeah, God doesn't. We're a new people. We're a new time. The stuff that doesn't taste good is not even relevant anymore. You know what I'm saying? That's basically, you know.
Yeah.
And if you do bring up anything in the Word of God that I don't agree with, then I'm going to assume that you don't want me here. And it's like, you need to preach on that tomorrow. You know? You know, and when you preach on it tomorrow, understand this. That the Holy Spirit will be present to convict that man, that woman's heart, and maybe they would just see, oh my goodness. Don't assume that they're going to, you know, have a negative reaction. Assume that they're going to repent. Assume that the Holy Spirit will convict their heart as soon as the truth goes forth. But it's becoming more like an anomaly. You know, a message from God's coming more like an anomaly. We're going to talk more about that, including, you know, what's taking place right now in Russia. With a rapid church planting movement. It's just so powerful. In the middle of an Islamic push, you know, God's kingdom's going forth. We'll be right back. Listen, it is so important. You've got to learn God's voice. You've got to be able to hear his voice and obey him. We call that abiding. We talk about it all the time. There's a reason why, because what's about to happen, your only hope and your only chance of survival is that you know God, and survival in the context of living through this in a way that you're free, is to know God, to abide with God, to hear his voice and obey it. As a matter of fact, even Rick's talking about it right now. Listen up.
Things coming out we really need to pay attention to and get ready. But the simplicity of devotion to Christ is absolutely essential. The simplicity. And our response, we need to hear his word. We need to get to know his voice better, be absolutely resolved to know his voice better. And we need to get better at obeying his voice. Then we'll be on the rock. It doesn't matter what storms come, we're on the rock.
Listen, that's so very, very important because, listen, God loves, if you'll study God, if you'll study his word, then you'll understand he always rescues his people. He always has a plan to bring us out. You have to listen to his plan. You have to know him. You have to understand how to hear his voice. Yeah. And we even have on VFN TV where you can actually, you know, listen how to hear the voice of God. But listen, right now, you need to begin to abide with God, just like Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries is saying. And if you don't have a plan, we have a plan for you, a simple plan. It needs to be simple. It doesn't need to be tied into technology, and it's at iabide.org. We have a free plan for you. Go request your plan today at iabide.org. The VFN Torch takes VFN Radio to the next level. Listen, you can't show pictures and you can't play videos when you're listening to the radio, but we have it available for you. Take it to the next level, linking resources. As a matter of fact, when you hear about one particular article or segment that's going on at VFN Radio, there might be four or five other segments that we did over that quarter or several months that you can tie together. Why? It's available for you. It's called the VFN Torch, just like the torch that Gideon carried, the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on VFN Torch.
If you've ever looked at the church and have thought to yourself, these people are just way too perfect for me to come around them, then you know what? You and I are a lot alike. That was my story. I thought everyone in the church was just perfect, and I was the only one with issues. But guess what? Everyone that comes to Jesus has a background. We don't come to Jesus because we're perfect. We come to Jesus because we need a Savior. And you know, I was at that place. I was at that place where things weren't going right in my life. I was away from God. I was in sin. I was chasing after the world, trying to find an identity, trying to find myself. And the more I kept looking for myself, the more I went deeper and deeper into sin. But then I had an encounter. I had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when that happened, everything changed. Yeah, my life wasn't perfect, but I met the one who is perfect. And with that, I'm absolutely okay. I want to encourage you to read my story. You can read other stories of people that were not perfect, but people who met the perfect one. Mm-hmm. You can go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
Welcome back to VFN Radio's first hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat and John. And I was just, my son came over to, Derek came over to get some, the pressure washer. He was borrowing the pressure washer, going to pressure wash his new house now. And I'm trying to find a flashlight. I think we have this one flashlight that has, I don't know, a type F battery or something, or it's like 20,000-year-old D battery. I don't know what it is, but you turn it on, the beam goes at least, I don't know, a full quarter inch or something. You can't see anything with it. I don't know. We got to get some batteries for it. You know, this is like the old-timey stuff, right, these battery stuff. Well, I'm sitting there, and Jared says, you know, I can use my phone. I can use my phone. I'm like, I'm thinking, I didn't say anything, but I'm thinking, phones don't have a lot of light, son. I'm thinking, you know, you're thinking like the reflection of the phone or something. So I go in there, and we're looking in the storage area, and I turn on my quarter-inch light, you know, and I can't even see where to step, and all of a sudden, he has an app. He has an app. It's a flashlight app.
Mm-hmm.
And he clicked on it, and the whole place lit up. I'm like shocked.
Amazing.
There's an app, a flashlight app. And I'm thinking, oh. So I downloaded on my phone. I was like, it worked. It is so amazing. What is exciting to me, that is actually natural light. I'm talking to you about spiritual light. Mm. Did you know that is so important that God's called us to be the light of the world? And at VFN Radio, at VFNTV.com, we have an app. An app that not only just brings, you know, light to your day, but it'll bring light to your entire community. You begin to spread and tell everyone that the light of the gospel, the light of God, the light of God's word is broadcasted 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on VFN Radio. And you can get to it at VFNTV.com or by going to your app store and typing in V as in Victor, VFN TV. Well, you know, I don't know if you heard this or not, but I'm not a camper. I've camped more probably than the typical person. I am just not, I was not a camper. I mean, camping for me was like, you know, you're in a hotel and
I mean, I think you're confused.
You're in a hotel and you are, hungry. You get hungry. And you look at, and it's late, it's like midnight or something, and you look at the room service, and it says, room service not after midnight. And then it's like, whoa, I'm camping out. I hope I can make it till like, the room service comes again or the breakfast buffet opens up in the morning. I am telling you what, it's amazing. God will use the things that are not, the campers that not, are not, to nullify the campers that are.
I remember one night we went camping in Louisiana.
Oh, my goodness.
Almost went camping. Oh, what an adventure, Pat. What an adventure.
Yeah,
You were going. You were going. I think you were headed to Texas.
I was headed to Texas.
You were headed to Texas.
Uh-huh.
And, what happened? You had to get something. Something was wrong with your car. I don't remember what happened, but something was wrong with your car, right?
Well, we had this great, wonderful time of fellowship and meal and just so, you know, so just really enjoyed that.
At the Lone Star. That's right.
It was the Lone Star. And for some reason, they wanted money after the meal.
And the
card wouldn't work. It just was, well, something was gone wrong, and here we were in the middle of Louisiana. We were in Baton Rouge. Was it Baton Rouge?
No, Bossier City.
Bossier City. And I thought I knew Bossier City, but I was about to really know Bossier City. And so I needed to find an ATM. And so Chris John's, you know, been there a while. He is the chaplain for
Shreveport Medical, LSU Medical Center.
LSU Medical Center. He'd just gotten off his stress treadmill, and we were, and so we told the people at the restaurant, and says, we're good for this. We'll come back with money. And so I didn't know any place in this, I guess you would call it a town, but he knew, John knew, his friends was there, and he knew the mayor's son-in-law. Was it the mayor's son-in-law?
Son.
Oh, it was the mayor's son.
Mayor's son.
So, right. And so you take me right to the mayor's son. I believe he was like hiding out under a tree in a rickety old place. And he was armed, right?
Yeah. We show up, right? So we got to find it. We don't know where in the world this ATM is.
You got to understand that we're talking. See, our listeners don't think. Just go to Google Maps. You know, just go.
No. This is before.
This is before that. This is.
Yeah. I mean,
we probably just got ATMs. It was just AT back then. It wasn't even AT. We didn't have an M on the end of it.
It was a while back. A while back. So we didn't know where in the world we were going. I said, all right, let me call.
I was letting John lead me.
I said, come on. Let's find this guy. So we show up.
You know, from all my law enforcement experience, I felt like I was undercover again and we were trying to do a deal or something. It's, you know, it felt just like it would be somebody who was trying to score a drug or something. Like, what is this going? Didn't it feel like, it's like, it was eerie, right?
Yeah.
We pull up to your friend's house.
He's not my friend.
Well, you knew who he was. He goes, hey, John, as he was loading his gun.
So we show up and he's sitting in the dark outside in a chair. with a gun strapped to his leg.
Yes,
outside.
And what part of Louisiana is this? What was it again?
This is Bossier City. This is Minnesota.
Bossier City, I'm talking about.
Mm.
And I said, we need some help. We hadn't realized that they were actually a bail bondsman in the city. And so we actually went over there, and he got in the car, says, I'll help you out. I know exactly where to take you. So he hops in the front seat.
Loads his gun, sticks it back in his holster. Yeehaw!
And he's driving us all over Bossier City, trying to find that.
We were in his car?
No, we were in your car.
Okay, so we put this armed...
Yes.
in our car. Okay.
Well, I felt safe. He was the mayor's son.
Yeah. We have a whole nother session coming up on PKs and politicians' children. Yeah.
So he's driving us all
this
over.
This is Nadab and Abihu. Everything's cool here.
Yeah, we're good.
It's totally cool. I mean, this is Solomon's son. This is Eli's boys, man. We got this puppy made.
Oh my goodness. And he drove us all over the place. Finally downtown. I think
we were cruising the town. It was just like this eerie, like, how do we get him out of this car?
Is he going to
rob
us?
You can't just like, yeah, exactly. It's like, where is he taking us? You know, these are in the woods, you know. It's like, oh my goodness.
Okay, this is downtown. This is nice. This we kept block. I said,
okay, this is the graveyard. Okay, got it. This is the woods. You know, and you're literally thinking, you can't just like, get out of my car, mirror son, with a gun. You're just thinking like, we're going down. We're going down.
If a tree falls in the forest, will anyone hear it?
If we scream and what's the town called again?
What?
Bodon? What's the town?
Bossier.
Bossier.
If a man screams in Bossier when he's getting shot, does he make a noise? I'm thinking, we're fixing to go down. It all started, man, with a mill. But of course, a long story short, we could not find an ATM in Bodon. Was it Bodon?
Bossier.
Bossier. Just trying to get you guys active. You know what I'm talking about? Well, anyway, in Bodon. And so we finally, the old fashioned way, and got some cash and just, instead of anything, just paid for the situation and it was off to Texas. It was amazing. You can't even describe some of the things we've been through. But I think there has been worse times in ministry than that.
We wouldn't even go there.
Well, man, it's so amazing to see what's happening in Russia. And it's Dagestan, Dagestan, where Islam is just pushing and just, you know, it's just a mean religion. You know, radical Islam is just very, you know, ugh. And but in the middle of that, there's the believers who just begin to have, with all the things that happen in that kind of environment and the fighting and the radical Russian Muslims and all that, they just began to believe God and do spiritual warfare. And you got to hear what took place. This is CBN News. You got to hear what took place there.
Miles from Moscow. Russian forces are in a 20-year fight against an Islamic rebellion. There are murders, assassinations, and bombings virtually every day. Ultra-conservative Muslims want Islam to rule this corner of the country known as the Northern Caucasus. Dagestan is the heart of the insurgency.
Back in 1999, a group of radical Muslims attempted to turn Dagestan into an emirate ruled by Islamic Sharia law. The Russian army stepped in and quickly stamped that out. But since then, this province, home to about 2.5 million people, has today some 3,000 mosques and growing.
There's a segment of the society, especially among youth, that's become more radicalized. They want to follow a more pure form of Islam.
According to polls, 1 in 3 Dagestanis back stoning of adulterers and chopping off thieves' hands.
How open are the Muslims in Dagestan to hearing about Jesus Christ?
No. There are some who are open and have heard about Christ, but we have to be very careful.
On a recent afternoon, CBN News met up with Roman, pastor of an underground church. They meet in small, discreet home groups because many of those who attend are converts from Islam. CBN News agreed to conceal their identities for protection.
How dangerous is it to be a Christian today in Dagestan?
For some believers, it could mean death. For others, it means enduring daily persecution or harassment.
On July 15, 2010, a gunman killed Roman's close friend Artul Suleymanov. 49-year-old Suleymanov led the biggest Protestant congregation in Dagestan. Local media had accused him of actively converting Muslims.
I wonder if I was next on the list. To be honest, I wanted to leave the city immediately and not come back.
But he didn't. 3 years after his friend's death, Roman says he's more determined than ever to share the love of Christ.
I get routine threats from Muslims. This is life.
Dagestan is more than 90% Muslim. No one knows for sure just how many secret evangelical Christians there are.
Believers here tell me the church in Dagestan is focused in two areas, discipleship and church planting.
50 people attend Roman's congregation. 22 of them are full-time church planters.
Sometimes my wife jokes that we won't have a church left since everyone's been sent out. I don't want to build a church and fill it up with people. Once someone has accepted the Lord, we disciple them and send them out.
Valentin is one of the church planters. We've taken similar precautions to protect his identity and those in his congregation. He serves in a remote village close to the Chechen border.
Over the last 6 or 7 years, the villages have become breeding grounds for radical Muslims. Young people are recruited from here and join the militant ranks. We try to reach them before that happens.
They have worship only when the babies sleep.
Another believer was severely beaten when he tried sharing the gospel with a Muslim girl.
Nothing is going to stop the work of the Holy Spirit here. Just as God loves the Chinese, Americans, Germans, He has great love for Dagestan, Chechnya, and the whole Caucasus.
Oksana teaches at a Muslim school. She can't openly talk about Christianity, but when students ask her about her faith, she has an answer.
When I came to the school, I was told by the students that they hated Christians. But their hearts have changed. The only thing I can do is to live out my Christian life in humility and love and leave the rest to God.
Dagestan and the Northern Caucasus is one of the least evangelized places on earth. The rising Islamic fervor has prevented many Russians from even visiting the area. But for Roman, Valentin, and other believers who work quietly in the shadows, it's a risk worth taking to make the name of Christ known.
We minister to drug addicts, we have an outreach to young people, and we're training the next generation of church leaders. This is our strategy. We may not see the fruits of our labor immediately, but we are called to lay the foundation to till the soil for future generations.
George Thomas, CBN News in Dagestan, southern Russia.
Wow, this is so amazing and exciting to be able to see how, and that's CBN News. You can get to cbnnews.com. Also at the VFN Torch, we're going to make that available to you by going to vfntv.com and click on the VFN Torch to keep the fire burning. It's so exciting. We're going to talk to you about, when you think about this unreached area, the most unreached area is 90% Muslim, 50 members in that fellowship, and 22, almost what, half of them are understanding what Peter Wagner says, that church planting is the greatest form of soul winning. That's where more souls are won with fresh new church plants than anything else. All the crusades and everything is church planting because it's new, it's vibrant, everybody's involved. It doesn't get all religious where you gotta have one of these, you gotta have one of those, and this gotta happen. It's just like, you know, you're just going after God, you're dependent on Him. And we're truly believing in America, there's going to be just a rapid church planting movement. We're not saying what kind it's going to be, how it's going to be. It's just going to be people that hear God, find God, make Jesus the Lord of their life, be discipled, become His discipled, and then be launched into the harvest field, sent out to lead someone else to God, loving others, and leading others to the same. We'll be right back.
You know, Ben, I was just talking to my father, and he was... my sisters and I, we got them an iPad, and move them into the next level of technology.
Right.
And my mother was Skyping now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she can Skype. she could Skype. As a matter of fact, I'm hoping to have mom on, have do a conference call or something, and bring her on live. You would just, you know, everybody, you in the audience, you would just love to hear my mother. We just laugh and talk, and we've always had a great time. Mm-hmm. But anyway, they're listening to VFN TV. Mm-hmm. And the VFN radio program, watching VFN TV and listening to the VFN radio program, mm-hmm. with their iPad.
Oh, wow.
They have an iPad. Uh-huh. And they're able to do it because they went to the iTunes store, mm-hmm. and downloaded the application, because we have an application. We have an app for that.
Right.
We have an app for your iPad. We have an app for your iPhone. And we have an app for your Android. Mm-hmm. You just go to your app store and type in your search area of your app store, V as in Victor, VFN TV. There you go, is the app. Download it, and for free, you begin to listen not only to the live program, and it happens all day long on the loop as well, but all the archives and highlights. You think about it. If you miss a segment or somebody's talking to you about something, oh, man, I missed that, you can go that. With the app, you could go back and look to the highlights of that day, and possibly the app, that particular highlights right there. In addition, you can get right to our VFN TV and Daily VFN Radio program Facebook. You can get to our the VFN TV blog right off your application. It has everything that you need available for you. As a matter of fact, those that are you know, sowing into this ministry and giving, that you can even give right there on your application.
Wow.
It is so, so cool. I just want to say hey to Ma and hey Dad, and all the moms and dads out there. Listen, you can get VFN TV, the daily radio program, right there on your phone or your iPad or your Android or Apple. Just go to your app store and download it today.
Steve, Vine Fellowship Network University.
Wow.
I'm so excited.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Steve, I've had the chance to go to Bible school before.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? It was good. You know, I learned a lot of information.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you, Vine Fellowship Network University is about getting revelation.
Yeah.
It's about literally finding out about the pattern of God and God's revelation on his church.
Yeah.
You're going to be so impacted by the lessons learned. You're going to be so impacted by the prophetic words. You're going to be so impacted by fresh revelation that's going to take you to the next level. And it's not going to get you just about studying where the church has been, mm-hmm. but it's all about telling the world where the church is going.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Be prepared. Be a part of the harvest. Get involved. Get in the game. Stop looking at what others are doing and saying, you know what? I want to be prepared for the end time harvest.
That's right.
Vine Fellowship Network University, VFNU.org.
It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation, and this nation, by God's grace, to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving. Welcome back to VFN Radio's Forced Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me, of course, is Pat and John Ramos.
Well, well, my goodness. Chuck Hagel, Secretary of Defense, just voted, the Senate panel just voted, Greg, but they just voted to endorse Chuck Hagel in a vote for 1411. Of course, still has to go to the floor. But all the Republicans present voted against his nomination. Now, here's the thing. Here's the thing. When they were trying to get some information about Chuck and some of the speeches that he has given, According to Breitbart News, he told the Senate on January 31st that he could not provide records or video for more than four of the hundreds of speeches he had given in the previous 5 years because they had not been transcribed or recorded. Well, wouldn't you know that a new video has just surfaced of one of his speeches that he gave in 2008, way too long ago, but just in 2008, and the new footage, listen to this, new footage is basically Chuck Hagel, he mocked the idea of continuing the U.S. policy of confronting Iran and supporting Israel.
Hmm.
And this is he's quoted as saying, when I hear the talk about, well, you can't talk with Iran, you can't talk with Syria, and where should we stay? And we should stay where we are and support Israel and so on. Well, you missed the point, he told a laughing audience. And he goes on to say that the U.S. shouldn't even be thinking about options of bombing Iran, even in the event of a nuclear attack on Israel. This is being quoted on this, and suggested that Israel would be the first to attack Iran with a nuclear weapon. This is the Secretary of Defense. This is the chief person under the president, who's the commander in chief of the military, and this is his ideology. This is his perspective on Israel. And we're watching this unfold. The Senate panel committee just endorsed him. Now they're going to see about taking his vote to the floor. But this is so important in the time that we're living in. When you're looking at Iran as a serious threat, not to mention all the other enemies in the region that Israel's facing, and yet we have a nominee for the Secretary of Defense who only provided four speeches out of the hundred he's given.
Right.
And this one surfaces, and this is how he feels about Iran and Israel. This is very telling. And we could need to pray now more than ever, as we can continue praying for Israel.
Right.
But now we're seeing cards even displayed even more. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah. And as Pat Robinson reports on CBN News, is that He doesn't have the experience to run. The Pentagon is just huge. It's miles and miles and miles of hallways filled with offices of people who are handling everything in regards to defense, in America and stretched around the world. And it's just brain melting to think about, it has to be somebody that has that kind of experience, first of all, just to be able to run it. And probably if he had that kind of experience, and of course Pat Robinson says he doesn't, he probably wouldn't have made those kind of speeches, because then he would understand that Israel's are one of our biggest allies in democracy, and that they're helping us.
It's our only ally right now. It's our only ally. And you're saying we're not going to support our only ally in the Middle East?
Right. But, when somebody doesn't know anything or doesn't have the ability to do it, and they know this, understand that our executive branch is very intelligent, that means then they'll be the ones that tell the particular one that they're getting in there what to do. So it's just basically an extension of exactly how the president would want it to be done, because the person doesn't have their own abilities in the context of running something so huge as the Pentagon, which I think it requires like 5% of the entire budget for a national budget to run. It's a huge budget.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just humongous. A million military soldiers, veterans affairs, all these SEAL teams and all these guys going out. I mean, just everything that you can totally, imagine. But the biggest thing is, what's God's news behind this news? Is that choosing him nails how does our president feel about Israel. Despite what he said in the address, what he said in his action, Jesus said, many people will come amongst you who call themselves prophets. In other words, they're saying they're Christians. They're saying they hear from God. They talk about Jesus. They have a lot of scripture when they're talking. But he says, outwardly, they look like they're sheep. They look like they're Christians, but inwardly, they're ferocious wolves.
Mm-hmm.
Proverbs says, silver tongue lips.
Mm.
And but you know them, Jesus said, by their fruit.
That's right.
And when you have a president or a congressman or whoever choosing their staff and their cabinet and people in key positions, then that's their fruit. That's who they're choosing. And it says by that choice alone that he's not really concerned about two very important things, which constitutionally that's his job. One is to protect and defend the Constitution and Americans from enemies, foreign and domestic. Well, that's your defense department. Right. At least you're foreign right. enemies. And it says that what he thinks about Israel. Israel's optional. It's just optional. And, you know, when I was listening, as we talked about earlier this week or last week, when he was the particular doctor was at the prayer breakfast and he led the
Carson.
Yeah, Carson. By the way, you know, we actually broke the news on that, it looks like, because the week after is when all the other news sources started. If you want to get the cutting news,
yeah.
That's
you
right.
get it from VFN Radio, because they started talking about it afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And but the biggest thing that he said when the president spoke, the last thing he said was, you know, when we get up each day and pray as the sun is rising, you know, those words said, and that is the morning prayer. You know, that could totally line up with the Islamic, you know, morning prayer. You pray five times a day, and the first prayer is that it says you get up and you pray at sunrise, then you have success. And it was just like, just because everybody says God, it's not the same God. Just because somebody says they go to church don't mean they are the church. And just because somebody mentions Jesus does not mean they know Jesus as the Lord of their life.
Yeah.
They can call him a prophet. Islam calls Jesus a prophet. And one that has to come back and repent for calling himself the Son of God. They openly deny Jesus is not the Son of God, which would be an anti-Jesus religion, which means anti-Christ, right? Anti-Christ religion. So I just want to encourage you, as we're seeing all these things unfold to us, realize as we're talking in the first part of this hour, is that when this whole new term started, our representative, the Speaker of the House,
John Boehner,
stands up and says, here we are, lead us.
Yeah.
No, and he might not understand his heart. I don't think he's as concerned about things as the majority of Congress is, but they voted him in.
That's right.
I think there's a lot of fear there about, oh, you got to, you know, because or whatever. I don't know. And it's just his turn or something. It's like,
we'll put him in front of us.
It doesn't say anything in the Constitution. It's like, it's just his turn. You know, it's to say, who do you choose to be the speaker at this time, this season of life? And if we would do that, it would be a lot better. But in the context of that we're in some interesting times. Israel is fighting for itself. It's reportedly that they were going to bomb Iran next spring. But now it looks like they have the nuclear weapons earlier than they thought right now.
Yeah.
So it very well could be, you know, any moment, because they have to defend themselves. The longer they wait, because Iran is getting some sort of protection. I don't know what specifically it is, but I know we sent to Turkey, you know, we sent the Iron Curtain to Turkey. We sent those to be able to protect them from nuclear attack. And it's not, and who else would attack them? It's like, are we helping now Iran, you know, prevent Israel from defending themselves?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like every day they wait, this whole big, quote, Iron Curtain or whatever they're beginning to build around in the defense mechanism inside of Iran is they're getting more and more time. It's going to obviously take a huge miracle from God either way, and God, this is what God, you know, specializes in.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to show himself mighty to Israel. But understand this, it's at any moment. And ever how goes Israel, you know, so goes the church. Ever how goes the apple of God's eye, you know, so goes the church. And so we need to pray for Israel, pray for their protection. I encourage you to partner with CUFI, Christians United for Israel, to be able to hold our leaders' feet to the fire. You can go to VFNTV.com and just click on CUFI, the logo that's there. And also just begin to pray about who God wants you to prayerfully and financially support in Israel for the Christians that are there and the Messianic believers that are there. Don't let anybody take advantage of your love for Israel by just throwing money at somebody, you know, have a relationship with them and begin to just invest in Israel.
Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at BFNTV.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at BFNTV.com. You're listening to BFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.